Last week we was the first Sunday of Advent, which was the Sunday of hope. And we remembered the hope that we have, which is in Jesus, and the promises that He made to us, which gives us hope. And this is the second Sunday of Advent, which is a remembrance of the peace that He provides. And we recognize that that peace that we have in our hearts, even in the midst of chaos and trials and tribulations, when we're suffering and pain, or when there's a family like we've had in the church that is suffering with an illness, we have peace in our heart that God is in control. Because of the hope that we have an assurance that no matter what happens here on earth, we have a place prepared for us in heaven. We're just here temporary. And we have that peace. And today is the second Sunday of Advent. We think about peace. Heavenly Father, we just again come to You, Lord, and I again thank You for this great group of people that have gathered here today. And Lord, let us learn from Your Word, but also let us be reminded of the hope that we have and the peace that we've obtained from that hope comes from You. And Lord, I praise You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. So, today we're going to discover a promise of the coming Messiah. And as in the Old Testament, the Jews were promised a coming Messiah, and they were looking for the Messiah to come. And yet now, you know, we realize Messiah has come, but we recognize that He's coming again. Amen? And so that's a promise that He made. The Prince of Peace, He foretold this, as was foretold in the Old Testament prophets, that the Messiah would come, okay, as He did as a little baby, that He will come again. Amen? And one day, at the last trump, we even sang that song, the words in that song is the last trump. When the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ will be raised, and those who are alive and remain will be caught up together with Him, and coming in the clouds, we'll see Jesus. Amen? Or either that, or we'll be with Him, right? We're either going to see Him or we're going to be with Him, is one of the others, right? Isn't it amazing trying to wrap our heads around that, right? You know, it makes me, you know, excited about the times that we're in right now. It really does, because I believe in that promise. I believe that Jesus will come. Amen? I really do. And so, just like the Jews at the time, they were waiting for the Messiah. You know, there's 400 years of silence. But yet, they were still, in their minds, Messiah is going to come, and He's going to rescue us, and He's going to make things right. And I see the world that we live in today in such chaos, and I think, Lord, when are You going to come and set these things right? There's so much evil. There's so much garbage going on right now that we don't agree with. That it pains our hearts. We grieve in our hearts for what we see going on. And I think, man, when are You going to come? A promise He made. I believe He's going to come one of these days, right? We don't know when, but we can have peace in our hearts. Even when we're grieved about things going on in our world today, and we see the wars and the rumors of wars and all the things going on in our culture and the things that we're like, I can't believe this is happening. We can have peace in our heart. Amen? Have you got peace in your life? I mean, how many of us really want, do you ever think about just having complete peace? We think that only comes when we die. Right? And some days, I'm sure there's sometimes we're like, there's no peace, right? But spiritually, Christ in your life, when you're walking with Christ, He brings a peace in your life that is not understood by this world. It's hard to explain. And it's such a profound peace that Christ brings. He promised peace in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. He said, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest upon His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." As a prophecy from Isaiah, it reveals titles of the Messiah. It says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in You, all whose thoughts are fixed on You." This peace isn't passive, is what I'm saying. It's perfect, it's enduring, and it comes to those who trust God. And I would say, do you trust God this morning? And I can imagine, you know, I think about a lake, and I've been out on the lake either early in the mornings or late at night, and you're in a boat, and there's no waves. You get back in a little cove, and it's just complete calm. You ever experienced that? And it's just like, not even the wind's blowing. And there is a time where it's like not even the birds are chirping. It's just really calm and peaceful. Undisturbed by life storms. That's what Jesus brings in our life. He offers us that. Story about Jesus there when He was in the boat and he was asleep with His disciples, and this big storm come around and the boat was being tossed back and forth. You remember that story? And the disciples are like, "How can you sleep? We're going to die." They were terrified. And Jesus is like, I can just imagine. He gets up and He's like waking up and He's like, What are you guys afraid of? He's like, "Just be quiet. Peace." And the storm quit. I mean, it just like calmed down. Perfect peace. I think about that in my own life when the storms in my life are happening, and I can say, "God, don't you realize what's going on in my life?" And He's like, "What are you talking about? What are you afraid of?" I'm like, "Well, don't you see what's going on?" He's like, "Peace. Just accept it. Just accept the peace that I give you. I've got this," right? That's a calmness that only comes from Jesus. It's a perfect peace. Like that song we were in, perfect peace. Wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above. It does sweep over your spirit, doesn't it? We got to understand what true peace really is. If you want to, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says this, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That true peace, it doesn't make sense. It transcends understanding. That peace that transcends conflict, right? It's a peace that surpasses human understanding, and it's a gift from God Himself. And I don't think the disciples could comprehend it, because the story is like, who is this guy? How could he do this? That even the winds and the storms listen to him. They couldn't comprehend it. A guy by the name of R.T. Kendall, he says this, "True peace is not merely a distant goal, but the very presence of the living Christ in you." Have you ever experienced that peace in the midst of chaos? Well, some of us have maybe experienced peace, but what about in the midst of chaos? Have you ever experienced that in the midst of a storm raging around you? John 14:27 says, I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So many times we get afraid and we're scared of what's going on in our life. And he's like, don't be afraid. Don't worry about it. I got it. Haven't I made you a promise? Do you trust that promise? Do you believe what Jesus says? Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes there's doubt in our heart, I know. Sometimes we have a tendency to not really, you know, we want to trust Him, but when it comes down to it, okay. Like Paul said, Paul's like, you know, if I live, I live for Christ, but if I die, it's my gain. What did he mean by that? If he stayed here on earth, great. But if he went on to heaven, that's better. Right? And I think sometimes within us, we get it backwards. We think that staying here is better. And we try to hang on and hold on to what we have here. And it's like we're fighting inside with our spirit. Like, I'm fighting because I want to stay here. I love my family. I do. Don't get me wrong. I love my family. I can't imagine my family doing without me. They probably couldn't make it without me. Right? Maybe Lee Ed would say something different, but she's not here. It's like, go on to Jesus. No. We've all had our moments, haven't we? 35 years of marriage, you know, there's thoughts that come in your head. You have to pray for a couple hours, you know, to get them out. It's like, Lord, help me here. No, I'm joking, you know. Probably. I got to get back on this. You know, but even in life's chaos, even when our life is torn apart, there's this extraordinary gift that God gives us when we trust Him. And it's peace in our heart that no matter what happens, it doesn't really matter. Because we know that God has it. Right? We know that. It's a peace that that the world can't replicate. And here this Advent, the second Advent, it symbolizes the peace that Christ offers. And it's a peace that guards our hearts and our minds, and it's a transformative power. Amen? Romans chapter 2, verse 2. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. The NLT translation says it like this, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I like that. The peace offered by the Prince of Peace is not just a passive state, it's transformation. It's transformative. It changes you on the inside. It reshapes your thinking. It aligns you with God's will and brings about a renewal of our inner selves, who you are inside. Charles Spurgeon, he wrote this, he said, the peace of God is that eternal calm which lies far too deep in the human soul to be reached by any external disturbance. God's got you. And you know it. And you trust Him no matter what. It's a peace that helps us navigate through the storms of life. Because let me tell you, storms will come in your life. Amen? We all know that, right? We know it. It happens. Psalms 29:11 says this, the Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace. And I would ask you this morning, do you have peace in your heart? Have you got peace in your heart? And again, life storms are inevitable. But the Prince of Peace provides strength and stability in the midst of them all the time. Our peace is not shaken because it's in the Lord's hand, right?
Amen.
So, for the Christian, for the believer, we have a response to adversity. And it's a peaceful response. And in James chapter 3, it says this, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. I love James. We actually talked about it in Sunday school this morning with the teens. The peace of Christ not only sustains us in trials, but also influences our responses to adversity. It transforms us into peacemakers, sowing seeds of peace in a world hungry for harmony. We are extending this peace of Christ through our everyday interactions with others. That's who we are supposed to be, peacemakers. We bring peace. Jesus brought peace. He says, now you go do what I did. Now you go be peacemakers. Amen? You show people that in the midst of storms in your life, you show people that when things are going bad, you're not worried about it. Amen? Because you know Christ. You know and you believe and you trust in God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. You know, we're called not only to experience the peace of Christ, but to actively work for peace. And as children of God, our lives should reflect the peaceful nature of our Heavenly Father. And we got to embrace peace in the midst of chaos. And this world, like I said, is filled with chaos right now. I watch the news and it just breaks your heart sometimes to think, what is wrong with people? My mind thinks that, and then I really know because they don't have Jesus in their life. And they need Jesus in their life, and the only way they're going to get Jesus in their life is to see people who love Jesus living in a chaotic world and still loving Jesus and still loving people. Does that make sense? It seems like that hate and division is the theme for this world, right? But hope and the promise of peace is what holds us together. If we can get that right, man, if we can just get that right, then we don't... What would the world be like? Be a lot different than it is now. Let's listen to the words of Psalms chapter 46. I love this. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar and kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. But still, and I know that I am God, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Man, it's a reminder that all this stuff that's going on in the world is just like what it says in Solomon, what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. Everything's been done, has been done under the sun. Societies, kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. Societies rise and societies fall. What would happen if America fell apart? Would it affect your life? Absolutely. Would it affect your spirit?
Put it back together.
Would it affect your relationship with Christ? So you remember Daniel.
Amen. Yes.
You remember when Babylon rose up and defeated Israel. And they were brought into captivity. Did it affect Daniel's spirit? No. He stayed strong through it all. God is our refuge and strength. We will not fear. When we look back at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6, it said, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." This prophetic verse from the Old Testament, it's associated a lot of times with the anticipation of the Messiah in Christian theology. And we're going to go a little different direction. So we break that down. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. This part of the verse refers to the promise of the birth of a special child, a son significant of a child. It highlights that. I guess the language used here suggests that a miraculous thing is going to happen. The government will rest on his shoulders. This phrase signifies this child will bear the responsibilities of governing and ruling. It also implies a position of authority and leadership that goes beyond earthly kingdoms. And that idea is that the ultimate authority will be placed upon the shoulders of this prophesied child. Now you think about this. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And in this verse, it lists four titles, four names that will be attributed to the child. And it provides a lot of insight. If follow along with me. Wonderful Counselor, And commentary all agree that this suggests extraordinary wisdom and guidance. The Messiah is seen as a source of divine counsel, offering a profound and wise advice. He is the mighty God. The title emphasizes the deity of the Messiah. He declares that the coming child is not just a human figure, but is in fact God Almighty in power. He is the everlasting Father, and that title conveys the sense of eternal fatherhood. The Messiah is portrayed as a caring and nurturing father figure whose love and protection extends throughout eternity, forever. He is the Prince of Peace. And this highlights one of the central themes of the Advent season, is the reason I'm saying this. The season of peace. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. The Messiah is anticipated as the one who will bring and reign of peace both in the hearts of individuals and in the world at large. That's what they were looking for. Is that not what we're looking for? Amen?
Amen.
We're looking for peace, right? As the song, he says, I looked and I found no peace. Peace is dead. Right? Have you ever thought that? You look around in this world and you think, man, there is no peace. They sign peace agreements, but they don't really mean anything. There's still no peace. Our government can't get along with each other. They talk to each other with hate and disdain for humanity. I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's such a mess, isn't it? You think about where the Israelites were during the time the Messiah came. Rome was in control of most everything. They were really kind of living in, you know, a controlled place that were governed by radical, mean people, really. And it didn't really change too much. After Jesus came and died and was resurrected, and 50 days later he ascended into heaven and he sent his disciples out. What happened during that time? 100 years after that, they were, Roman leader came into power and he was dragging them out in the streets. 17,000 Christians were slain in a month. Think about that. 17,000 Christians were slain in a month. Doesn't sound too peaceful, right? The world's not a peaceful place. Isaiah chapter 9 is a powerful prophecy, and it foretells this birth of a child who will hold the divine authority, and he possesses extraordinary wisdom, and it embodied the might of God and his characteristics of the everlasting and loving and peace-giving, and he's going to bring transformation to the world, and he's going to change everything. Right? That's what they believed. That's what I believe too. As I believe that for each of you this morning, I believe that for those in this community, I believe that Jesus changes your life. Right? I believe Jesus can be present in your life and he can bring peace in the midst of chaos. And let me tell you, it says that in the last days it'll be perilous times. And I don't know when those perilous times are coming, but they'd look pretty close to me, right?
Amen.
And church, I got to tell you this. It's our job to teach our kids and to teach the next generation how to deal with what's going to happen. They have to be ready for it. Right? That's always been the church's job. It's always been the church's job. But it's not something to look at being negative. It's a positive thing because we have a God that is eternal. And this is just temporary. I don't want to get too far off track here this morning. But Isaiah chapter 9, it always points to Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, don't be anxious about anything. And that word anxious is also the same word they use for worry. Don't worry about anything. How many of you are worrying about things this morning? Yeah? How many of you anxious about what you're going to eat for lunch? See, you can use that word. You may not be worried about what you're going to eat for lunch, but you might be anxious about what you're going to eat for lunch. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. That's why we pray for food, right? With thanksgiving, present in your request to God. Tell God what you need. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love it. Apostle Paul here, he's writing to the Philippian believers, and he reveals this profound truth about peace of God. This is not just any peace, right? It's God's peace. It's something that's transcended and supernatural and beyond the limits of our understanding at times. A peace that originates from God Himself and is a sign of a Christian experience. Have you experienced Christ? Come on now. It changed your life, right? It changed the way you think. It changes how you view the world. There's a transformative nature to that peace, and it has a deep connection of a life that's lived out in Christ. It's like James said, if you have faith, prove it. If you believe in God, then prove it. Your life should line up with what you say you believe in, right? If you want peace of in your heart with God, then experience Christ and you'll experience peace. Paul describes that peace as a guardian of our hearts and our minds. I need that, right? Guard your hearts, guard your minds. Living in Christ Jesus is really the key of unlocking and maintaining that peace in your heart. A peace of God, it acts as a protection. I guess really like a force field. Shields up, Star Trekkies, right? Whether it's first generation or second generation. Shields up. That's the way I like to see it, you know? Okay. Challenge in your life. Shields up. Man, I could preach a whole message about that. It shields us from anxieties and fears. And there again, that worry. Anxiety, worry. You know, worry is a sin. It's a sign of distrust. That's what the scripture, I mean, that's the definition. Worry is a sign of distrust. Because when you let worry take over. Now I will say this. Leanne called me out here a while back because I was, you know, I was upset about some things. You know, because you get caught up in the news and you get caught up about some stuff and I start ranting on about this and that. And it's like it breaks my heart, you know, sometimes I just like, oh, you know. And she's like, Here you preach about not worrying about things like that, and here you're worried about that. Yeah, go ahead and clap. Now let me finish. And I'm guilty of that. Don't get me wrong. I have to catch myself, and I'm glad I've got a wife that calls me out on everything I do wrong. That's why us husbands need a wife, because we need somebody to tell us when we do stuff wrong. All the ladies won't talk to me. No, I told her, I said, you know, when Jesus was looking down over Israel, and he wept and he cried. When he was riding a donkey, he was going to go down, and they were going to praise his holy name. And they were going to, they waving palm branches and laying their coats and at the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus knew that it wouldn't be just a couple days later that they would be spitting on him and beating him and sending him to the cross. And he wept over it. Not out of worry, but out of compassion and love. And I told Leanne that. I said, Leanne, I said, it's not that I'm worried about these things. It's just my compassion and my love for people. I see a world that's falling apart that doesn't know Jesus. And if they knew Jesus, then they would have peace and they would have understanding. And they don't. And I've got friends and family that are going to die and go to hell if they don't find that peace and love that only comes from Jesus Christ. And that's not a worry. That's a love that comes from Jesus, from knowing Him, that comes through Him. And I would say, have you experienced that transformative peace in your life? And if you haven't today, don't leave here today without finding Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace I leave you, peace I give you. I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind. Peace of heart. And the peace I give you is a gift that the world cannot give you. You can't find it in drugs, you can't find it in alcohol, you can't find it in relationships. You can't find it anywhere in this world. But you can find it in Jesus. And that peace offered by the Prince of Peace is not just a passive state. It's transformative. And it reshapes again. It reshapes your thinking. It aligns you with God's will. And it brings about a renewal of your inner self. And I'll tell you this as I'm closing. Billy Graham spoke about a transformative power of peace in the context of faith and trust in God, and he said this, the secret of strength is found in the faith that abides in the hearts and homes, because when people have faith, they have a God to turn to in trouble. And that highlights the idea that true strength and transformation only comes from a deep-seated faith in God. That peace in your heart and in your mind only comes from God. And when we gather together as a community of faith, man, it changes everything, doesn't it? Man, I love, that's why it's so important for us to come together. He says, come together in one accord, right? And that's not one little car. Okay? You didn't know cars were in the Bible, did you? So were motorcycles. You know that? It said David rode his triumph all through the nations. He did. You heard that. I'm just saying. Who knows? Psalms chapter 29 says, it reassures us that the Lord gives His people strength the Lord blesses them with peace. And as we navigate through the storms of this life and we go through things, let the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts. Let us be reminded that blessed hope brings peace in our life. In James chapter 3, verse 17, it enlightens us. It says, "But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness." Isn't that wonderful? So let us leave being peacemakers, having peace in your life. And if you don't have that peace, take a moment and just ask God to come into your life. Ask for Jesus into your life. Experience Him and be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And you'll gain that peace that only comes from Christ. So this Christmas season, this Advent season, let's remember the hope that we have and the peace that we gain from knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you again always for this great group of people. Lord, I pray that you bless them and in every way, Lord. And as they leave, they don't leave you. They bring a peace as they go to everyone else around them. They show the love that they have for you is displayed in their life every day. Lord, I thank you again. I glorify your name in every way. Let us surrender ourselves to your service as we show compassion and love to this sin-sick world that needs to see it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you all again.